Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
It's great to have you here and to worship with you and exalt the name of Jesus. Before I introduce a very special guest speaker that I'm excited about, I want to invite our very own Pastor Samuel Barajas up to the front. He's our youth pastor. Give him a hand. He's going to tell us, yes, a few things coming up about Graceland Youth that I really just wanted you to hear. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. Well, good morning, guys. Just like Pastor Nathan said, my name is Sammy Barajas. I'm the youth pastor here at Graceland Church, and I'm so honored to just be here in the room with you guys this morning. There's a couple of dates that I want to keep you guys on the loop with that are happening in the life of youth, Graceland Youth. Tonight, someone say tonight. Tonight, November 16th, we have our end-of-year youth night. It's going to be a great night where we have a special guest, actually Pastor Samuel, who's going to speak this morning to us. He's going to speak into your students tonight and uplift them, encourage them, and just come into the room and just speak into your students. It's going to be a great and exciting night. So if you have a student, if you're also a student from 6th to 12th grade, we would love to invite you into the room tonight. It's going to be a special night where we're just going to have fun, play some games, and encounter the Lord. And so, yes, it's going to be a great night. Some other things that we want to keep you on the loop. November 23rd and November 30th, which are the next 2 weeks, we will not be having youth night. Someone say, aww. I'm sorry. But this weekend, this upcoming week, November 23rd, is the weekend before convention. How many of you guys have students going to convention? Come on, lift your hands. We're so excited to send your students to convention. It's going to be a really special time. It's going to be at the Opryland Hotel where your students are going to go and worship and encounter the Lord. We have, I think, about 25 to 30 students of our Graceland students going this year. So we're super excited to send your students to convention. So this upcoming week, no youth night. And then the following week, November 30th, is Thanksgiving weekend. So just enjoy your weekend, your long weekend and holiday weekend with your family. And we're going to miss you guys. But December 7th is our annual youth Christmas party. And so we throw a big Christmas party every year. And it's December 7th from 5 to 7 p.m. here at Graceland Church. We're going to host a huge Christmas party for your students. And it's going to be a really fun time. That's going to end the year off for us. We will not be meeting for the rest of December, but we're going to kick off very strongly January 4th with our new year youth night. It's 2026. Can you guys believe it? We're already in the new year. It's crazy, but almost. I mean, we're basically there. But yeah, that's crazy. But yes, January 4th, 2026, we're going to be coming back strongly to meet for youth nights. But yes, well, just want to say we love your students. We absolutely, the leadership, youth leadership, love and believe in your students. And so if you have a student from 6th to 12th grade, or if you're a student that's in, from 6th to 12th grade, we would love for you guys to come and hang out tonight, 5 to 7 p.m. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pastor Samuel. You know, when you make time go faster than it's actually going, you're really aging us around here, Pastor Samuel. Come on, we're trying to cling to our youth around here. I know you got lots of time left, but I'm not in the same situation as you. It's almost 2026. I feel like it's already 2030, to be honest with you. My mind lives way out there. I just turned 43. I'm basically 60. That's how I feel, you know, so yeah. I just give a whole thing. I'm young at heart, though. Anybody with me? Where's my young at heart people? All right, all right. What was I talking about? Oh, I really want to challenge you. Pray for Pastor Samuel, for our youth leadership team, and for our youth. Can you guys commit that to me? Whoa, terrible commitment. Come on, this is second service. You can be a little louder. Can you guys commit that to me? All right, all right. God heard you. Pray for these students. I have a guest speaker coming in. His name is also Samuel, Pastor Samuel Curtis. And I wanted to bring him in because he has a real anointing on his life for students and for youth ministry, like Pastor Samuel does. And he has been, right now, elevated into a new chapter of his life. And as you know, it's really, it's elevated in assignment, but it makes you go lower on your knees, right, and in desperate need of God. He's been a youth pastor at a church in Murfreesboro. I'm good friends with his pastor over there. But God has called him to become our statewide Youth Alive director for the Assemblies of God across all of Tennessee. So he's transitioning into that role right now. And what that means is he's leaving that job that he has at that church with like a steady pay and all that. He's got a wonderful wife and two young kids as well. And he's stepping into missionary work. He's fundraising, but more than that, he's raising a team, raising a heart, and raising vision. And here's what he does. He gets to go into all the schools all around Tennessee and equip the students in our public schools with the gospel of Jesus. It is an amazing evangelistic ministry. He works arm in arm with Brooks Till, who's our youth director for the state. He used to have this job, and Brooks became our youth director. Now Sam is our Youth Alive director, and these guys are good buddies and work hand in hand. They carry a really similar type vibe too, honestly. You're about to see, we had Brooks Till here earlier this year, but we need to be praying for our students, and I wanted him to speak to us and stir us, not just our students, but I wanted to have him on Sunday morning to speak to us about how God has called every person, regardless of your age. You could be any decade of life, and God already wants you to be thinking about those that are younger than you. You could even just be in high school. God wants you to think about those middle schoolers that are coming after you, those elementary kids that you're meant to encourage and support and help raise up in the faith. Or if in your 20s and 30s, think about those high schoolers, and on it goes. And I feel so strongly about it that I would say it this way. If we're not doing that well, we're essentially having funeral services here on Sundays. If we're not really investing and handing the ball to those that come after us, these might as well be funeral services because it's going to die off with us. Who knows what I'm talking about? So this is a big deal, and God is moving in Gen Z and Gen Alpha. He is stirring a real fresh work in their hearts. Pastor Samuel speaks about it with tears in his eyes. I've gotten to hear him share, and at our parent and youth night last week, incredible. But I want you to stand and make welcome another Pastor Samuel, who also does youth, Pastor Sam Curtis. Come on up. Give him a big hand, church. Come on, let's stand and honor him in the house.
Amen, amen. Well, I want to give honor where honor's due to your incredible leadership here at this church. Can we please honor Pastor Nathan and his wonderful family? Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. How people know, honor is the way of the kingdom. Dishonor is the way of the world, and it's appropriate. The scripture tells us to give a double portion of honor to those who are in leadership. I'm thankful for Pastor Nathan and his wonderful family. They are the real deal. Amen. You are incredibly blessed with people. I can tell they love you. They love God. They love the presence of God, and you couldn't ask for better. And this is probably one of the most beautiful. I'm not even saying that right. This is a gorgeous property here. I mean, y'all are incredibly blessed. Stay rooted. Stay planted here. This is a great place to be. Amen. Amen. You're in the right place in the right time. I am so honored to be with you this morning. We had a great first service. Excited to be with you here at second service. My name is Sam Curtis. I'm the Youth Alive missionary for the state of Tennessee. My wife could not be here today. She's the worship pastor at our church at Family Worship Center. She is the best anybody could ever ask for. I love her with all of my heart. I got two boys. I got a five-year-old and a two-year-old. Anybody got boys in the room? Y'all know it's wild, right? If you don't know, you just don't know, but it's wild. But I love him with all my heart. And Judah, that's Judah, my wife's old, and he's my little mini-me. He is the biggest kid in his class. And so trying to teach him not to tackle people in Sunday school, you know what I'm saying? So, and we got a lineman or something on our hands. But anyways, we love him. I love him dearly and thankful to be here with you today. What is Youth Alive? I'd like to explain that for a moment. Youth Alive is an Assembly God missions organization that equips students to reach their peers with the message of Jesus and connects the local church to the schools to make Christ known in every community. Why is this important? Well, I stand in the gap today. According to the ESES system, every school, every student, there is 2 million students in the state of Tennessee that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Not only is that important, but according to Barna Church Studies, 94% of first-time believers give their life to Jesus before they graduate high school. By contrast, only 6% give their life to Jesus after they graduate high school. So we want to reach the 94%. We want to reach them exactly where they are. Youth Alive makes it possible to reach the unreached and to raise up students, campus missionaries who feel called to preach the gospel. We properly equip them to be able to go into the school, and we work with the local church. We want to reach them in the schools. We want to disciple them through the local church. Amen. So that's what we're all about in doing. God's been moving in a profound way. 4 months ago, I started raising support as a missionary. And the national office really just wants you to raise support, but people are hungry for what God's doing in this hour in our schools. We have 23 recognized Youth Alive clubs in the state of Tennessee in 4 months. Isn't that awesome? That's incredible. That's 23 students and plus who said, I want to share the gospel in my school. We're getting them planted, getting them going. Over in Millington, Tennessee, at Millington High School, we got a young lady by the name of Ava Grace. She signed 100 students up to preach the gospel to in her school. They're meeting weekly. God's moving. Over in Murfreesboro at Siegel High School, we had 7 students who said, you know what? I want to win my school for Jesus. They found a teacher. We met with the principal. They're meeting every Wednesday morning. They're praying together. They're having devotion. That's all student-led. The move is student-led right now. Worship is happening. Just a few weeks ago, we were singing Worthy of It All, the song we sung this morning. Teachers are walking by the room, looking around, making sure nobody sees them and worshiping. Amen? I mean, just powerful. God's been moving in a profound way. We do school assemblies. We do community outreach. I was in Memphis a few weeks ago in September, last month in September. Oh, it was 2 months ago. Lord help us. In September. It's not 2026 yet, right, Pastor Sam? We're getting close. And in Memphis, we had chapel services at a school there. And there was a young lady from California who moved to Tennessee on a volleyball scholarship. And she felt the love of God that morning in a chapel service. Well, she went to her teacher, who she knew was a believer, asked her teacher to lead her into the prayer of salvation. Isn't that awesome? Right there in the classroom, she gave her life to Jesus. God is moving in a profound way. Youth Alive is about students sharing Jesus. I got to witness students sharing Jesus in a profound way back in February 2023 when I attended the Asbury Revival. Who's ever heard of the Asbury Revival? It's a great move of God. God's Spirit was being poured out on this generation. And I witnessed this. And when I got home, I started thinking about it, that anytime there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it always exists in the middle of a significant cultural shift. In other words, God always has an answer to whatever is happening in the culture. Are you thankful God has an answer? I'm sure you probably realize this. I didn't share this first service, but I felt like maybe I should share it this service. I don't know if you know this or not, but within the past 5 to 10 years, according to Barna Church Studies, Harmony Healthcare, Pew Research, 42% of Gen Z and Gen Alpha have been diagnosed with anxiety. 62 of the 42% are on medication to treat their mental health. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in that generation, and those numbers are the highest they've been in over 50 years. Not only is that number alarming, but out of the 63 preborn babies that have been aborted, 26 million are Gen Z and Gen Alpha. But despite the alarming numbers, I came to encourage the church today that God is on the move in this generation. Amen? He's on the move. He will not be stopped. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it all across our state. God is providing a tangible sense of peace for a generation with unparalleled anxiety. God is restoring the feeling of a belonging for a generation amidst an epidemic of loneliness. The authentic hope of Jesus Christ is marking a generation that's been marked by depression and suicide. God is bringing back the focus on engaging in adoration for a digitally distracted generation. And get this, God is revealing his overwhelming goodness. I've seen it to a sexually confused generation, and they're repenting and giving their life to Jesus. Paul said it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance, and we're seeing it in this hour, and they're giving up the lifestyle, and they're saying, God, you're just too good. You're too kind. I'm living for you. God is meeting this younger generation in ways that are meaningful to them and the culture in which they live. God is doing a new thing. God told Isaiah, behold, I am doing a new thing. It shall spring forth and shall you not know it? And I've asked the Lord, I want to know it. And when I got back from attending Asbury, I felt the Lord speak to my heart that the new wine, his Spirit that he's pouring out, cannot be contained just in college campuses, but he's wanting to do it in middle schools and high schools. And I said, God, let Tennessee be the pioneer for what you want to do in this hour. And I might sound crazy, but I believe we can have student-led, Spirit-filled churches in every middle school and high school where our great churches are represented. I believe we can have outreach events on campuses and worship nights that are student-led and students are hearing the gospel and they're getting saved and healed and filled on campuses. I believe we can have school assemblies where students who would never walk into a church building go into the school and we're able to reach them there and then we're able to disciple them through the local church. Amen? Amen. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your support. If you would like to be a prayer partner, I didn't mention this last service, you say, you know what, I want to pray for the local schools, Summit High School, all the different schools that are here. If you say, I want to pray for the local schools, and you say, I drive by it every day, I want to sign up to do that, I'd like to meet with you after service. We sign you up to be a prayer zone partner and pray for the schools. Amen? Sound good? Well, man, I'm so excited to be here. I'm excited about the word today. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for this time together. I thank you for the people of God. This is such a wonderful church, wonderful leadership, wonderful people, and I'm blessed by them, and I'm blessed to be here. Lord, change us. Marcus, call us today. Lord, we love you. Lord, I've loved you more than I've ever loved you. And I'm thankful for you today. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about a man in the Bible that you're probably familiar with, a man by the name of King David. Who's ever heard of King David, right? I'm absolutely fascinated with the story of King David. I'm fascinated with the fact that God chose a teenager, had the prophet Samuel anoint oil on his head, declare he would be the king, and we saw favor on his life. We saw him make mistakes, but out of his bloodline, the Messiah would be born. And before David is anointed as king, we get this snapshot of his life. We begin to see who he really is. He was in the field worshiping God. He was taking care of his father's sheep. There was this uncommon anointing on his life. There was this uncommon faith. There was this uncommon worship. When it was only custom to worship God in a meeting place, David was in a field with a harp and a lyre worshiping God. God was doing a new thing in David. God was speaking to him in a new way for his generation. I believe this morning God is calling us into something new. God is speaking to us in a new way so that his glory can be revealed to this generation. David had this uncommon worship, but spiritually, he had faced common battles. He faced lions and bears. He slayed Goliath. He had to run away from his father-in-law, Saul, who was trying to kill him for 8 years. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's bad. I mean, that's bad. Some of y'all think you got in-law issues. That's next level. Amen? This is bad. I mean, this would be the greatest episode of NCIS. Who's ever watched NCIS before? Law and Order. I don't watch those shows because they're the same thing, right? Somebody dies, they find out who the murderer is, and they arrest the murderer, right? It's like a Hallmark movie. You ever watch the Hallmark movie? It's Christmas time. I know y'all be watching them. I watch them. I like to make fun of them. I think they're hilarious. But I know exactly what's going to happen before it's going to happen, right? It's a Hallmark movie. And I can tell you what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. There's going to be this lady in New York City, all right? She's got a job. It's a good job, not the best job she wants. But her boss says, you know what, you're burnt out, so you need to go back to Montana or Colorado where it's like snowy, wherever it is, and you need to go see your family. Well, she hadn't seen her family in like 20 years. That's a red flag, right? That's a massive red flag. Nobody talks about that ever. But anyways, we get her and we send her back home. She sees her parents she hadn't seen in 20 years, and she decides she's going to have to save the Christmas tree farm or the local pageant, either one. So she sets out to save it. She is the Moses for the Christmas tree pageant, right? So she gets there and she shows up. Well, she rekindles some kind of love for this guy she went to prom with 25 years ago, and in 25 seconds they're madly in love. It's like Jacob and not Leah, but Jacob and Rachel, right? They just fall in love and weep together. Anyways, but we see they're in love and all of this, and oh no, New York City calls and gives her the greatest job offer known to man. I mean, it's her dream job that she left her house 20 years ago for. So it's her dream job, and she's going on the plane to get back to New York City. Her and her husband, but whoever is the prom guy, they get into a fight, and all of a sudden they split. She goes to the airport, they make up, she comes back in a red dress, right? That is a Hallmark movie every single time, right? I can tell you what's going to happen before it's going to happen, right? This would have been the greatest episode of NCIS. All of this took place in David's life before he ascended the throne. David had to face the process before he could receive the promise. And anytime God is speaking a new word to us, anytime God is calling us into something new, there is always a process that proceeds to seeing the promise. There's a word. Can everybody say word? There's a process. Can everybody say process? There's a promise. Can everybody say promise? And there's two examples in the New Testament that really stand out to me regarding this topic. The first is in Luke chapter 18. The next one is in Matthew chapter 8. But in Luke chapter 18, there's a man named blind Bartimaeus. Can everybody say blind Bartimaeus? When blind Bartimaeus is needing Jesus to heal him, he calls him son of David. We'll get to that in a moment. But Jesus heals him in one moment. Jesus heals him in one encounter. In the same way, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals a man with leprosy, a terrible skin disease. Jesus heals him in one moment. But then, it's interesting, he commands him to submit to a process. And I started to think about this. Jesus is not just about the moment or the encounter. Jesus is not just about the process, but he is about both. And leprosy is a definition of sin. I say this out of all love in my heart today. But the reason maybe why we keep dealing with cycles of sin is either because we want a moment with God all the time, or we want a process with God all the time, or we don't want both. But the truth is today, encounters or moments with God were meant to initiate something in our life, not be the end of something. It was meant to take us into true seasons of discipleship. And true discipleship is moving from an encounter with God that sets us free into a place of devotion, into a place of worship, into a place where we're fascinated with Jesus. And I've learned this for 10 plus years of youth ministry. I've learned this within my own life, that we will always function outwardly as a consequence of what we believe inwardly, right? We begin what we believe in here and in here, we begin to live out through our actions, right? That's why, like the proverb says, as a man thinketh in his heart, then so is he. And Jesus goes on to say, all sin originates from the heart, right? We begin to think this way. So I am convinced, instead of trying to get a whole generation to change their outward behavior, which God will do, I'm looking for them to catch the internal revelation that they are beloved by God, that they are a king's kid. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a king's kid? Come on, tell them. Tell them like you mean it. Slap your other neighbor and tell them. I mean, slap them around the forehead. Tell them. Don't do that. That's violent. Tell them you're a king's kid. You're a king's kid. Man, you're a king's kid, right? You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Paul said, he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? When I give my life to Jesus, when I repent of my sin, when I walk in his journey that he has for my life, because we don't invite Jesus into our way of life, we get invited into his way of life. Let me say that again. We don't invite Jesus into our way of life, we get invited into his way of life. And when we say yes to him and follow him and he washes us clean, God no longer looks at our past. He no longer looks at what we did last year. He just sees the blood. He just sees the cross. Anybody thankful for the blood of Jesus today? Anybody thankful for the cross today? I said it in first service, but my grandmother was one of my best friends, and she was an old Pentecostal worship leader. She could tear up a piano. She could play it by ear, but she would sing this song to me all the time, for the blood reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley, and it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day, and it will never lose its power. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus today. This is a powerful statement, because the same love that God looks upon Jesus with, he now chooses to look upon us with, because all he sees is the finished work of Jesus in our life. And all of this is possible because Jesus willingly died for us. He was 100% man, 100% God, and he didn't give up his spirit till he was willing. If it was us, we'd have died in 5 seconds. But because he was God, he didn't give up his spirit till he was willing to give up his spirit. And don't get it twisted. Nobody killed Jesus. John chapter 10, Jesus said that no one has the power to take his life. Only he has the power to take it and to raise it up again. My God. He died until every curse got reversed. He died until every hex got broken. He died until every power came under his power. Every glory came under his glory. And every name that has a name came under his name. And not only did he die, but he rose again. And we've rose with him. And we've been given access to the glory, to the presence of God. My Bible says we can approach the throne of grace boldly with confidence. My Bible says that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is no angel, no demon, no power in the earth below, no power in the sky above. Get this, there's no worry about today, no worry about tomorrow. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's been revealed in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are a king's kid. You're a king's kid. And don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. People saw David as an insignificant person, but God saw him as a king. God knows your potential better than anyone else. God sees you when nobody else sees you. The one who loves you the most is the one who knows you the best. And David didn't quite fit this status quo as king. But he wasn't called to fit in. He was called to be a king. And I want to talk to some adults in the room or students in the room today. Maybe you feel like you don't fit in. Maybe you feel like you don't fit in at work, or you don't fit in with certain family members, students. Maybe you don't feel like you fit in with certain people groups. You didn't quite make the team. But can I tell you, you were never called to fit in. You were called to be set apart for God. And there is a Christ consequence behind others' rejection of you. There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. It's because there's a calling on your life. It's because there's an anointing. It's because God has a dream for you. We were never called to fit in. We were called to be set apart for God. Amen? We are king's kids. And sometimes it's easy to say we're a king's kid, But it's a whole other thing to actually believe that we are. And David was a man after God's own heart, but the only reason he was after God's heart is because God was first after his heart. In Psalms 138, David talks about God's loving kindness and protection. He even says God's love is abundant for him. David knew he was beloved by God. Like David, may we make the Lord and his love for us essential to our personal worth. May we define ourselves as one radically beloved by God. God's love for us and his choice of us form our worth. May we accept that and let it become the most important thing in our life. Can I remind us today, church, that the basis of our personal worth is not in our possessions. It's not in our talents. It's not in the esteem of others. It's not everybody giving us an applause or telling us how important we are. Don't get it twisted. Instead, it's about staying anchored in God, before God, who tells us that we are his beloved, that we are loved by him. Come on, may we stay anchored in the fact, may these words resound in every corner of our being, that we are God's beloved. Amen. David knew he was God's beloved, and as a result, he was absolutely fascinated with God. And I want to talk to you about something I've personally been dealing with in my life. But if you and I believe, were as fascinated with Jesus the way we were designed to be, I believe we would not be so interested in receiving the temporary satisfaction that comes from this world. The temporary things are appealing because the eternal things have not been appropriately revealed. But once we know the love the Father has for us and the lifestyle he's designed for us, it will not be so difficult for us to resist temporary things. And I see this within this generation. I see it within my own self. And I just want to share this today. I don't believe we have distraction issue. I believe distractions are real. But I believe we have a fascination issue. Fascination with Jesus will naturally deal with distraction. Instead of always focusing on how bad you are and God can't stand you and God's mad at you, instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. Begin to fix your thoughts on what is good, what is pure, what is lovely. Begin to see yourself the way that he sees you, that you are his beloved, that you are a king's kid today. Amen. And it's true, distractions are real. David had to face the lions and the bears for the lamb. It's true, the enemy will try to throw petty distractions our way, hoping to fix our eyes off the Lamb of God, off of Jesus, and steal our fascination away from him. And my question to us this morning is this: what predator in our heart and in our mind seeks to rob us of our affection for Jesus and the promise that he has for our life? What lion is causing us to believe a lie about ourselves or about God that is not true? The enemy of your soul wants to do two things. He wants you to believe a lie about yourself that's not true, and ultimately, he wants you to believe a lie about God that's not true. What bear is telling you God does not love you? What shame do you deal with, friend? What thoughts are keeping us up at night? What insecurity, what things are we dealing with within our heart and with our mind today? David had to face the lions and the bears. Chris Estrada says this: God cannot heal what we hide. God shows out when we step out. David stepped out and faced his fears, and that's when God showed up. Sometimes I hear from young people, they've never felt God. They've never felt his presence. They don't know what he's like. And the reason they feel this way is because they never actually stepped out in faith and trusted God to slay their giant. David had to have faith to step out and face Goliath, trusting that the stone he slung would land exactly on the forehead of Goliath. When David naturally put his faith and trust in God, that's when the supernatural began to occur. What are you saying? When the stone hit Goliath in the head, the Bible says he did not fall down backwards. He fell down face down on the ground. Now, science will tell you, if anything hits you hard enough in the head, you're going to go flying down backwards, right? I've seen it with my own eyes. Pastor Nathan mentioned this earlier, but I get to spend my summers out at Camp Jackson working under the best DYD in the history, Pastor Brooks Till, my close friend. I love him dearly. And I help run the schedule for him, run the day for him, things of that nature. But we play a game called dodgeball. Anybody ever heard of dodgeball? It is an underrated sport, all right? It's amazing, all right? But it never fails. I have seen kids get hit in the face with a dodgeball so hard that they go flying backwards, right? I mean, they get absolutely rocked, all right? I mean, I've seen it time and time again. And we tell them, hey, do not wear your glasses. Pastor Brooks likes to say, we got no lens crafter on site, all right? So don't wear your glasses out here. Not making fun of glasses, but every year somebody's glasses get shattered. And they're walking out at camp by faith and not by sight. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's rough out there. Send your kid to camp. No, I'm just kidding. It's the best camp ever. It's amazing. This same thing happened to Goliath. I mean, he did not fall down backwards, right? He fell down face down on the ground. To give you some more context into this, earlier in the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible tells us that the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant. God allowed it. What was the Ark of the Covenant? It was where the Shekinah glory rested. It was where the presence of God was. This was the most important thing to the Israelites. I got to go to Israel in February. I get to go back in March with Pastor Nathan. And we got to stand on the other side of the Western Wall, behind the Western Wall. And on the other side of that, they believe the Ark of the Covenant rests. It was such a cool moment. But this Ark was stolen. And the Philistines put it in the same room as their false god named Dagon. And the Bible says Dagon cannot stand in the presence of God. When they got there the next morning, they found Dagon, the statue, lying face down on the ground with its head completely severed. It could not stand in the presence of Yahweh. When we naturally put our faith and trust in God, that's when the supernatural begins to occur. This is powerful. Goliath worshiped Dagon. And in the same way, he finds himself laying face down on the ground, bowing down to Yahweh. I want to remind the church today that there's not a Goliath too tall. There's not a giant too tall. There's not a devil too intimidating that will stand in the presence of our God. Every giant will fall and every devil will flee in the presence of Yahweh. Amen. And I know you know it. I know you know it. I know you know it. But the same sword that Goliath was going to use to kill David with became the very same sword that David used to kill Goliath with. The very same thing that the enemy has been trying to destroy your life with will become the very same thing that God uses as a testimony to destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to go ahead and say it. He's going to regret the day he ever messed with your mind. He's going to regret the day he ever messed with your family. He's going to regret the day he ever messed with this generation, because God is taking what the enemy meant for evil and turning it for good in this hour. Amen? He's doing it. He's doing it. And why is he doing it? Why? Why? Why is he wanting to slay every giant in our mind and in our heart today? Why? Because we were meant to slay the giants of this generation. We were meant to slay the giants of depression and suicide. We were meant to slay the giants of abortion and injustice. We were meant to slay the giants of racism and anti-Semitism. We were meant to slay the giants of this generation. And you say, Pastor Sam, God can never use me like that. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. I've messed up. Can I tell you, David messed up as well? It was bad, y'all. He committed adultery on his best friend's wife and had his best friend killed over it. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's really bad. That's really bad. I mean, this will be the greatest episode of Telemundo. Y'all know what Telemundo is? My wife's Hispanic, grew up watching that. If you got General Hospital on your DVR, go ahead and delete it. You'll be better off for it. Amen. This will be the greatest episode of that. I mean, literally. David messed up bad. He repented of it. He faced consequences for his sin. But God's grace was greater than David's giant. My Bible says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And I believe Jesus was looking down upon David when he was in a field worshiping, applauding his journey, when he was slaying Goliath, when he was king and had faith, all that favor on us. I believe Jesus just applauding his journey. And even when he failed, even when he messed up, I believe Jesus was saying, repent of it, turn from it, because out of your bloodline is where I will be born. And we see it in Luke chapter 18. Can everybody say blind Bartimaeus? And if you're playing guitar or piano, you can come during this time. Blind Bartimaeus. When blind Bartimaeus is needing Jesus to heal him, he calls him son of David. He says, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus does not get offended that he calls him another name. Matter of fact, Jesus respected it. Why? Because he knew what lineage he came from. And here's my challenge to us this morning. Could it be that God is wanting to reveal himself through us to the point that when other people need Jesus, like David, they call upon our name? Let me say it again. Could it be that God is wanting to reveal himself through us to the point that when other people need Jesus, like David, they call upon our name? I believe there's a whole generation this morning that needs Jesus, that is calling on our name today. I believe there's middle schoolers and high schools and schoolers in every single school in this state who are crying out, their souls crying out today. It kept me up at night. I used to sit in the backyard of my house when I lived in Manchester, Tennessee. It was at a great church there. And I would see graduates. They'd have a parade, and I'd see graduates just go by my house. And I used to weep thinking, there's the 94% we never reached. That we never reached. And I would weep, and I'd hear them. And I said, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to reach them? I didn't know anything about Youth Alive, but God put it on my heart that He was raising up students to share the gospel and that we would reach them through the schools. Amen. God's doing it in this hour, but we need your help. We need those who say, you know what? I will answer the call. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Will you answer the call to say, you know what, Lord? I'll do whatever I got to do to help reach this next generation because they're calling on our name today. Will we answer the call? Can you stand on your feet with me today? I don't care if people know me as a great preacher one day or had a great successful ministry, but what I do want them to know is that when other people needed Jesus, they called on the name of Sam Curtis. Amen. Why did David face the lions and the bears? He did it for the Lamb. Why do we do what we do? We do it for the Lamb. We do it for Jesus. Will you allow Jesus to slay every giant in your heart, in your mind? Every illegitimate thought, maybe about yourself or about God, that's not true. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's depression. I don't know what it is. Maybe somebody said something about you 15 years ago and it has just eat you up for a while. I know what that's like. I don't know what it is you're dealing with today, past hurts, past trauma, but all I know is that Jesus wants to heal it. He wants to slay that giant today. Amen. My Bible says He's already defeated every principality and power, every giant on that cross. All we got to do is put our faith and trust in Him this morning. Amen. I want to pray for you today. Pray for two things. Pray for what I'm talking about here and answering the call of God for this generation. But this is very biblical. I believe we all deal with thoughts of shame. I believe we all deal with thoughts that we're not good enough. You know, in Galatians, Paul talks about this. He talks about Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac represents us, people of promise, people of grace. Ishmael represents the voice of the enemy. And Ishmael was mocking against that promise and that grace. And I believe in this hour, the enemy wants to mock against the people of God, wants to come against the grace and promise that we were meant to walk in. But I want to remind the church today that the devil is a liar. And his voice is being ceased in this hour. And I declare that the only thing that remains in your heart and in your mind is that you know you're beloved by God and called according to His purposes. Can we pray together today? Can you turn to your neighbor? I want you to pray for your neighbor. I want you to pray for him like you're praying for your own mama, all right? Like you're praying for your own self. I want you to pray for him today with everything in you for your neighbor. I want to pray for you about this. We're going to pray. Let's lift the Lord up and pray. Father, we love you today. Lord, we honor you. Where two or more gathered, there you will be. Lord, where your presence is, there is freedom. Where your presence is, there is liberty. Lord, I thank you today that you are speaking louder than every other lie. May we be like Elijah, who hid in a mountain and in a cave. And it wasn't the wind or the fire that sustained him, but what sustained him was the voice of God. Lord, we pray that your voice would speak louder than every other lie today, God. I thank you that you're speaking today. I thank you that you're renewing the word and the promise that is on our life today, God. I declare in Jesus' name that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than that of Abel. I declare whatever has been spoken against us, whatever was in our past, I declare that the blood of Jesus is speaking louder, and I declare that the promise and the grace that we were meant to walk in, God, we're going to continue to walk in. I declare depression is being broken in Jesus' name. I declare shame is being broken in Jesus' name. I declare every yoke of bondage is coming under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and it is being broken. It is being broken. It is being broken. No more sleepless nights. No more wondering about the same old thoughts. God is healing it today, and God is moving, and we declare that the only thing that remains is that we know we're beloved by God and called according to His purpose, God. Use us in this hour. Lord, there's a whole generation that's lost that needs Jesus, and they're calling on our name. God, use us in this hour, God. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in this hour. Use us for this generation, God. May we be like those fathers and mothers, as James said, who step up and say yes to the call for the next generation, who step in the gap for the 2 million in the state of Tennessee that don't know Jesus. We say yes to it today, God. And I declare that we will see the greatest harvest in the state of Tennessee, and not only in the colleges, but in our middle schools and high schools. I declare now is the harvest. God, we declare now is the open door. And God, we're going to see more than we've ever seen, that the lost are getting saved. that those who are addicted, God, are getting healed, that those who are depressed are finding you, God, and we're going to meet them right where they are. God, use us in this hour. Use us in this time, God. We answer the call if we say yes to it today. In Jesus' name, we bless this house. Lord, I love this church. Lord, we love these people and this leadership today. Lord, bless them. Bless their families, God. I pray they feel encouraged. I pray they feel uplifted, God. Lord, they are your beloved, and you're using them in this hour. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can we celebrate what God's done this morning? Amen.
Amen. Guys, can we thank Pastor Sam for sharing an awesome message this morning? Before you're seated, could you come stand here, Pastor Sam? Can I have some of my staff on board come gather around him in church? Can you just reach your hand out? We want to pray for him. I got to be in the board meeting for the network, Pastor Sam, when they brought up his name for stepping into this role and got to be a part of the crew that said yes and amen to that. And the words... That was before I knew you as much as I do now. But the words that were spoken about you from pastors that you've served with and ministered around affirm God's call on your life. And I just want to remind you, you know this already, but you don't have to worry about this being your work. It's just God's work. And you just have an assignment in it. And I always think of it as a free fall surrender in the river of God. You know, you're in his river, and he's going to move you at the right pace. He's going to lead you down the right parts of that river. He's going to bring you the right team members, the right funding. And so, church, can you just pray with me? I know that when someone gets called into the next part of their assignment like this, there's a counterattack. It's what we've been talking about in this Vision and Battle series. So will you just join me in praying for him? God, thank you for Sam. Thank you for his wife. I pray first for their marriage, God. I pray that you'll strengthen them, Lord. God, I pray that they would have a unity like they've never had before. I pray that when there's struggle in their marriage, they'd be reminded the battle's not against each other. God, they're in a spiritual battle. And I pray each of their hearts would remain in communion with you, the risen Christ. And I pray from that place, they will find the grace to walk strong in their marriage and strong in their assignment. I pray for their two kids. Bless these boys, God, men of great destiny. Right now, just in little seed form. But God, I pray that as they're raised up in the context of this family and this assignment, we know it's not by accident. So God, put exactly in them everything that you want to be in them. May they know your voice young, and may you protect them, oh God. I pray for their provision as they're stepping away from a paycheck and into a life of faith. I know what that is, and trying to take care of a family and trying to live and try to be obedient to what you've called them to do. So God, bring provision in. From all around them, from places that are unexpected, including our church. But God, bring provision, every single thing that they need. God, that you'll go before them and take care of every potential challenge that will come up. God, whether it's vehicles, whether it's insurance, whether it's medical stuff, all these things that sometimes we rely on high-paying jobs for. When you're in a missionary assignment like this, you just don't know where it's going to come from. So God, I pray you'll provide for them miraculously, God. Give them every single thing they need. Bless them so that they can be a blessing and fulfill this assignment. And we give you thanks in advance, God, for all these middle schoolers and high schoolers that are going to be raised up as lovers of Jesus and as sent ones, missionaries in their schools and in this world because of their obedience, because of this moment. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Can we thank him again for sharing with us, guys? You can say... As we stay standing, I just want to invite you to stay in prayer with me. We're going to sing a song. We're not rushed here. We have another few minutes before we close out the service. I want to invite you to ask God this as we sing this song, The Blessing. Ask God, what are you saying to me, and what are you calling me to do about it? What's your role in reaching down to those that are coming after you? Reaching not just forward for what you want in your life, but being aware of those who are around you and then coming after you. Maybe he's called you to serve with our youth team. Maybe he's called you to, maybe you're not a tither yet and he's calling you to tithe and be a part of the youth ministry here in that way. Maybe it's a kingdom builder's vision. I didn't say this yet, I don't think, but Sam and his family are new missionaries under our kingdom builder's ministry. And we're going to be blessing them and supporting them monthly and with a one-time gift. Maybe it's to give to kingdom builders in a fresh way. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's to pray deeply for this generation and spiritual awakening. But we're going to sing this song. And as you ask God, what are you saying to me and calling me to do about it? The chorus of the song says, amen. And we just repeat that word, which means, yes, I agree, God. I agree with your promise in my life. I agree with what you're calling me to do. I say yes. And I also pray yes and amen over your call for this generation, Z and Alpha, the generation coming next. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face shine upon them. So as we sing, just pray, just spend time in the presence of the Lord and respond to him accordingly.